God bless you all. It is a happy Mother's Day. I tell you, many fine memories of my mother. One thing I remember about her, she fed me, she clothed me, she made sure there was a roof over my head, and made sure that I was loved. She wasn't perfect, but I'm very thankful for mothers, because guys, you know, there is a little short clip there from Dennis the Menace, and Dennis is looking at one of the little girls, and she looks at Dennis and says, "Well, how do you think women have babies?" Dennis looked at her. She says, "Don't you know they come out of the belly button?" That's what they, you know. So, you know, the intimacy and the wonderful way it is for women, they do so much for the men, for the ladies of the household, for their husbands, and so on and so forth. I'm going to look at today at two different kinds of mothers, and there's one we're going to look at today named Eve, and the other one named Mary. Okay, the Mary of the mother of Jesus, and the Eve, of course, who was with Adam. And of course, what happened was, is we're going to look here in Genesis chapter 3, first of all, verses 1 through 6. You could do a little expository preaching here, so just be patient. Now, the serpent, you have to understand, people have to know where this serpent was. And sometimes to know what a serpent is, you have to look in the back of the Bible. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, it says this: "A war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was their place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, and the old one called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was cast out to the earth, and the angels were cast out with him." So I believe that the fall happened here in Genesis chapter 3, right after the creation of the earth, and obviously once Adam and Eve were created. Satan, the small god, or the serpent, was originally there as was perfect in wisdom and was the highest created anointed cherub angel. What happened was is that he also used to be perfect in music. So he used to lead the music in heaven before God. Okay? And also he was the perfect in beauty. He was such a star to look at. Well, you know, it was God who was doing the directing in heaven, and he thought himself as a star, and he wanted to become the director. I'm telling you all this to tell you that he came down to earth. I believe that he came as a very beautiful being. And the snake, the serpent, because I looked that up, and then obviously in Genesis 3:1, the serpent was more cunning. That means more attractive, more evasive, more deceitful, and than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. So he was a serpent, and it was very attractive. And this is what I'm trying to get at. What was Eve's downfall? Okay. Now, if you could say to yourself, well, it could have been anybody else. Yes, it could have been anybody else. But God allowed it to happen. Remember, there's a tree of good and evil, and God said, stay away from it. Any other tree in the garden is good. It's located on the east side of Eden. I'm not going to get into all the expository notes about that, but it's an interesting study. But it says here, then he came to the woman. Now remember, going back to Genesis chapter 2 and verses 15 and 17, says this: "Then the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord commanded man, saying," this is before he created Eve, listen, "of every tree of the garden you may surely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So the commandment was to Adam, Adam, do not eat of this tree. Also, Adam's responsibility was to look after Eve, to be with her. Remember, Eve was supposed to be a helpmate, okay? Adam was there to protect her and watch out for her. Of course, when we run into trials and tribulations, the devil was always trying to trip us up. He was trying to trip up Eve at this time. They were innocent. There was nothing there that they had done wrong. And of course, then the serpent comes to Eve and says, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Okay. So there was the number one, there was the God's word was challenged. Ladies, let me tell you, mothers, moms, even men too. Remember, the devil is not over with this yet. He knows he's defeated. He doesn't want me to be saying these words. And I'll tell you what, he wants to go after your family. He wants to go after your children. He wants to go after the men. And he will do everything he can, moms, and especially you too. So he challenged God's word. So anytime somebody tries to challenge, remember, it's what the word of God says. Remember, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We'll get to that in a minute. So, verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. But remember, she misquoted that. God did not say to Adam, you shall not touch it. It says that you may not eat of it. Okay, so we're already, she got the wording wrong. And we know that one game, it's called gossip. You play it as kids. You have a circle of chairs and you say one sentence about somebody. By the time it gets around, it's totally wrong. We're all human. Our minds aren't exactly working 100% all the time. So what happened was is that the devil knew what he was doing. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Now, number two, this goes right against God's love because God had warned her and Adam. And Adam, guess where Adam was? He was right there, okay? He was right there listening to what was going on. And again, ladies, go to your man, mothers. This is Mother's Day, right? Mothers, think about it. And it goes for women. It's Women's Day, too. You know, go to your man and ask for help, for advice. The marriage is very sacred. And, you know, it's one thing the devil loved to do is destroy a marriage. And he's got all kinds of ways of doing it. So be wise to him. Trust the Lord. Lean not unto thy understanding. Acknowledge him and he shall what? Direct thy paths, right? So he says, for, you know, you'll not surely die. For God knows in that day you will eat of it, the lust of the flesh, and your eyes will be open, the lust of the eyes, and it will be like God, the pride of life, knowing good and evil. So it all looked good. And you know what? It always looks good. And so, you know, I'm not knocking Eve here because we all sin. We're all sinners and we all make mistakes. So it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and was pleasant for the eyes and the tree was desirable to make wise, she took the fruit and ate. Now, let me tell you something. I'm sure it was not a hissing snake like you see in the tree and Eve standing there innocently. I'm sure that the serpent at this time, the shining one, the day star, as Lucifer was called before he was, as Jesus said, I beheld him as a lightning bolt being shot down from heaven. So he was cast to the earth. So he looked very, he was an angel of light. He looked very good. He sounded very interesting. And, you know, so we talked about that Wednesday night in Bible study. That people can manipulate words, as one lady put it, and make it look or sound good, okay? So we have to be careful what people say. And so she took of the fruit and ate it, and she also gave it to her husband, and he ate. Skipping down here, of course, the Lord, we don't have time to get into everything, but the Lord came into the garden and says, what made you hide? Why are you naked? What's going on? The glory of God at that time, because they sinned, they lost the glory of God. They became what? Dead spiritually. And that's if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you die spiritually. You might be physically okay and say, hey, I'm okay. I don't know. Last time I looked in the mirror, I didn't look too good, but, you know, I'm still there. But, you know, she had lost God's glory. He did. And so then the Lord asked and said with this, didn't I tell you not to eat from it? And it's just the typical, when people do something wrong, they hide it. They run away from it. Okay, they're ashamed. You know, we've all been there, done that. So then what happens is that the woman, I couldn't believe what Adam had to say. It was this woman that you gave to me. She gave it to me and I ate it. And I thought, oh, you coward. You're just terrible. You know, the guys, big macho guys out there think they're all tough, this, that, and the other. And then they got to blame somebody, a blame shifter. And of course, Eve, of course, she was deceived and she went over and told God, says, look, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the shifting went down the road. It's typical with my siblings, you know, dad would come home, something would be missing. Oops, we forgot to put it back. You know, one of the things we used to do is like watch TV while he was gone and mom was gone. And we thought, oh no, they're coming back. And so we quickly put the TV set back, and then he came home and we didn't put it in the right way. We, you know, fighting with each other because we were doing wrong. Dad comes home and says, okay, why do you all look like you're spooked? What's wrong? Oh, we're okay. And sure enough, the TV set was back in the closet, and he walked on over very coolly and he opened up the door and he goes, all right, he was watching it and nobody said anything, but we were scared. We're ready to run upstairs in our bedrooms, lock the door, and start crying because we knew we call it the whipping boy would come. You know, that was the belt would come. That was back in the day when you could do that. And they did it out of love. So anyway, so the blaming went on. Finally, you know, through God, through his loving and kindness, went ahead and he did this for both you and I. It was, first of all, he cursed the serpent. Okay, the snake. Satan is allowed. Remember, he had possessed this animal. Remember, through this kind of possession, it can possess objects, they can possess animals, even people. We're under the blood of Christ. He cannot possess us. Okay? No, he cannot do that. So, God pronounced judgment and on the snake. Verse 15, and then also we see the first prophecy of Christ coming to destroy the works of the devil. It says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and she shall bruise his feet. In other words, it will crush the head, and it will scar the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in Revelation, we will behold him as he is with the hands or the wrists pierced, the ankles pierced because of the nails. It will be a reminder of God's love on this Mother's Day, what he has done for us. So, you know, there's going to be warfare going on. There is today. We see it happening in the families. Young folks, that is one thing that the devil would love to do is to have you rebel, to leave your family, to do your own thing. We're going to get to that in a minute. So, and then he also pronounced judgment on the woman, which when she was, during conception, it says, will greatly multiply your sorrow and when you bring forth children. And it's interesting, it says here, and your desire shall be for your husband. And it has the idea here, not that you want to desire your husband to rule over you. It has the connotation here of Eve wanting to control Adam. Okay, it was a sinful curse that was on them. And then and he shall rule over you. And then Adam would like to be the chauvinist. So you have Eve who would like to be more into the feminist viewpoint. Okay, I want to control my husband. And then you have Adam, who's like the chauvinist. I want to rule, be the tyrant. You will do this, what I say, this, that, and the other. So that is the curse. If you're not having a problem in your marriage, God bless you. If you've never been through it, that's wonderful. But there hasn't been a couple that's had that issue. But thank God. But because of that sin, and by the way, that word desire, before I forget, it's interesting in chapter 4, verse 7 in Genesis, that we see that both Eve at this time, when she knew Adam, she bore Cain, and he was the tiller of the field. And then there was the next son that was born. It was Abel, and he took care of the flocks. And what happened with Cain? He was a very angry kid, and he couldn't control himself. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you so angry? In verse 6, and why is your countenance fallen? And if you do well, will you not go not to be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. In other words, there is sin waiting for somebody who's waiting to rebel against God, so that this sin has a desire to rule over that, take over that person. And there are people today struggling with sin because they have opened doors in their lives. And some people are scarred, so scarred today because they've been in so many sinful acts. But remember, there's the cross, which is where we pray that our flesh will be crucified unto the Lord. There is the blood of Christ that forgives us of our sins. And so that word of desire, that is not a good thing in this sense. So be careful when you think, oh, which door should I open? One, two, or three? Okay, well, first of all, you better pray, because it may be that God doesn't want you to open any doors. It may be that God wants you to wait. And then once the next prayer is like, okay, either is it a yes or no? God may say no, or God may say yes. Door number three, open that door, okay? But God will not lead you to any temptation which you're not able to secure or to overcome. If that's the case, if you get yourself in trouble, he'll give you a way out. Doesn't mean that you're not going to go through a temptation. It means our trial. It means God will give you the grace to go through it. So let's get back to Adam and Eve here. And the Bible is very much pointed. It says here in 1 Timothy 2:13 and 14, for Adam was first and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So it was the woman that was deceived first. But death came through Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as Adam all die, even in Christ all shall be made alive. So we have a second Adam, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have a Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be, before I get into this, there's something I want to share. This happened some while ago. Story about Mother's Day payback. This is thinking about Adam and Eve and with their issues here. So there's a story about the worst Mother's Day gifts ever given. If this newspaper reported a while ago, a man was giving his wife an iron for Mother's Day. He said, hey, it's great. It's practical. You know, you can use it. Well, she didn't particularly care for it. And so the next time around, guess what, guys? Father's Day is next month. Okay? So remember. And well, then he got the message when he gave him an ironing board for Father's Day. So guess what? We can work this out, right? I love you. I love you too. Okay, so moving along here, so we're going to look at another mother. We looked at Eve, and remember, God forgave. It could have been any one of you and I been at the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge. But God works it all out. He does for every one of us. So as we move along here to the next individual here, known as Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. So, and Luke 1:38. Here we go. And following. So, and Mary said to the angel, remember Mary, mother of Jesus, and the angel Gabriel came to her at the temple. How can this be since I know not a man? In other words, she was just a young teenager. Lord had already said, we don't have time because you are highly favored. It does not mean that she's the intercessor between God and man. There's only one intercessor, and that's Jesus Christ. And it says, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, which was Mary's cousin, okay, who had John the Baptist, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For God, with God, nothing is impossible. So God gave Elizabeth a baby, John the Baptist. He gave Hannah, remember back in 1 Samuel, a baby. Nothing's impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be me according to your word. The angel departed from her. It's interesting. According to your word. Okay? We have to be fixed on God's word. For us today, for us this week, let me encourage you. Always stick in his word. Because you'll hear a lot of voices this week. Oh, you know, this looks good, doesn't it? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. Well, you should go out and buy a big cake if you know you're diabetic, right? No. If you're the pride of life, go out and buy a brand new car. Yeah, you know you can't afford it. You got these payments to make, and you're living hand to mouth. It's ridiculous. So there's some things that we need to stay away from. Mary caught on to the good part. She loved the Lord. And there's six highlights of Mary. At 9 months later, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And therefore, the Messiah was born. Isn't that wonderful? Mothers have a special way. There's some ladies here never had a baby. Some ladies, there are different ways of looking at it. But they're still women. They're still mothers. It's still all the same. So there was the birth. Then there was losing Jesus. It says here, when Jesus was 12 years of age, Jesus just disappeared. And they had to go look for her. And again, I'm not going to read all this, but I'm going to read parts to you in Luke chapter 2. As a mother, what she had to go through. Chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. It was at the time of Jerusalem, at the Passover. Jesus was 12 years of age. And I'm sure Jesus was like any other kid, okay? And remember, Jesus had brothers and sisters. And what happened was, is that he was, you know, like anybody else. He had to get dressed. He had to eat his meals. He had to go to the synagogue to learn. And so on and so forth. He was like any other kid. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. Young Jewish boy. Okay? And so, and Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to be in the company. So that after Passover, they got together with their family and they all decided to walk home. About a day's journey. I hope this has never happened, but have you ever lost your child? Have you forgot where the child was and the child's so smart? He's not thinking, but he's way over there on the other side of the world learning physics or whatever. And you're just like, oh, my goodness, you know, there you are. You never say anything. Well, he doesn't because he or she is always thinking. And now, so it was after 3 days they found him in a temple. Oh my goodness, 3 days later they couldn't find their little preteen Jesus. And he was sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So that when they saw him, they were amazed. Where did this kid come from? And the mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us?" And I can understand a mother or father being like, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you, but aren't you going to get in trouble?" They didn't do that. Why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. They were worried. You wouldn't be. It's bad enough when you lose your keys, right? Or your sunglasses, but to lose a kid? Come on. Or a grandkid or somebody. So, and he said to them, "Why did you seek me?" This is what Jesus is saying. "Did you know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. So there were some things, and this is what I love what Mary did. She says, "Then he went with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart." Moms are good at doing that, you know. They're thinkers. They love. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor between God and man. So she had to go through the birth. She had to go through losing Jesus. And then growing up, and I'm sure she taught scriptures and did what she could do. And I wanted to share something here out of Proverbs 31:30. We had a good study that it's been like a mother's week instead of a mother's day. Because, you know, just thinking about mothers all week long. You should have a mother's week. Proverbs 31:30 says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised." Every mother should want their children to enter into heaven. Some young people, listening young ones, asked for some proverbs, and this is what they came up with. Patrick was 10 years of age and said, "Never trust a dog to watch your food." Michael, age 14, said, "When your dad is mad and asks you, 'Do I look stupid?' don't answer him," Michael said. Also, "Never tell your mom her diet's not working," so don't do that, kids. Okay. Randy, age 9 years of age, said, "Stay away from prunes." He understood because, you know, what goes in, what must go out. Naomi, age 15, says, "If you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse." So be careful. What they're thinking big. You may think they're cute and innocent and sweet, but they're smart. They are smart. Lauren, age 9, said, "Felt markers are not good to use as lipstick." Right on, Lauren. Ellen, age 8, said, "Never try to baptize a cat." So these were their proverbs, you know, cute little sayings here, but so true. You got to watch out. Kids can be a blessing or they can be dangerous. So moving on here. So we see that the mother, Mary, had to go through the birth and losing Jesus and about the growth. And also the wedding at Cana. Mary was there at the wedding when there was the first miracle. And remember, they ran out of wine. There were 6 giant clay pots. Okay? And Mary says, I got a problem. And so she went to Jesus. It's amazing. Mothers go sometimes to their husband, even to their kids, and say, "What do you think?" Okay? And remember, that's precious. And so Jesus said, "Well, fill up the pots with water." And they did that, and they brought out the water, and he changed the water into wine. And she said to the servants, he says, "Whatever Jesus tells you, do it." And this is what, moms, let me exhort you today. Whatever Jesus tells you, do it. So, and fathers too, and I guess that goes We're not out of jail yet, guys. No, I'm just kidding. So then there was the wedding at Cana, and then also the crucifixion. Mary was experiencing great pain, and you know, you could not even imagine. The crucifixion is just too gory to talk about here today on Mother's Day. But there was, guess what? There was a lady, Jesus' mother and John's disciple were there at the cross. And you know, when I read this passage, sometimes I tears come to my eye because I think what great love God has for us and his mothers, as well as for all of us today. And that moment Jesus showed how much care for his mother, and he said in John 19:26-27 says to the woman, "Behold is your son." He says, "Here I am on the cross." And then he said to John, "Behold your mother." In other words, John the disciple, John the beloved, John, he was the one who wrote Revelation, Gospel of John, 1st and 3rd John. He wanted Mary to be taken care of. What more precious way than having a church taking care of the elderly saints and be there for them, especially mothers, who are just so precious. You know, it's always what's on the inside of a person. Like it says, it's not about jewels and costly things. And I mean, that's nice about with women, but God seeks that which is precious. And we have women here all through this assembly that are just precious. It's the inside. And one woman says, "You know what? I may have gray hair, but I've earned them all." You know? And you have. God bless you. You have. And so let me sum this up. And I almost had one more story to tell you here before I forget. And it says here, just give me a moment here. Here we go. Oh, we had one more too. There's a sixth thing about Mary, was that she was at the tomb. She and another Mary and the women, remember in Luke 24, they went down to the tomb of Jesus and they beheld an angel. They were like, "Oh my goodness." And the angel looked at him and says, "Behold, he has risen. He's not here." And they're like, "Okay, got it." All right. So they run back and tell the disciples, and the men are there. And of course, the men don't think too much of them, but I could have very well been in the same boat. I humble myself that. And, you probably gotten up too early in the morning, 6 o'clock before that. You know, that couldn't have happened. Of course, what did John and Peter do after the ladies left? I'm not knocking the guys here, but I kind of laugh at it. Peter and John go running down to the tomb, and behold, the grave clothes are not even, are there, but the body's not. And so they're thinking about, you know, we should have listened to those women anyway. They were right. Let me encourage you, ladies, keep on doing right. Sooner or later, the guys will get it right, you know. But I'm not beating up on the guys because guess what? Father's Day is coming up. But just kidding. No, so you have what happened here with Mary, and she was at the tomb. And I have a little thing here called Mother's Opinion. Listen to this. It's 4 years of age, my mommy can do anything. 8 years of age, my mom knows a whole lot. 12 years of age, my mother doesn't really know quite everything. 14 years of age, naturally mother doesn't know that either. 16 years of age, mother, she's hopelessly old-fashioned. Sounded like me when I was growing up. 18 years of age, that old woman, she's way out of date. Oops. 25 years of age, well, she might know a little bit about it. 35 years of age, you listening? Before we decide, let's get mom's opinion. 45 years of age, I wonder what happened, what mom would have had thought about it. 65 years of age, I wish I could talk it over with mom. What I'm trying to encourage you is mothers have a wealth of knowledge and wisdom. Tap into it, okay? Get a little bit of love. Share a little bit of love, you know? They're there to be a blessing to you. And if you're listening online, great. So let's compare the two mothers in the same ways. They were familiar. Both women were mothers. Both women experienced pain and suffering. Both saw the son die. One was Cain and Abel, the other one was Jesus. But in other ways, these mothers are very different. One mother was disobedient and brought sin into the world. The other mother was obedient and brought the Savior into the world. One mother was unwilling to do God's will. The other one was willing to do God's will. Talking about Eve and Mary. One mother listened to the voice of Satan. The other mother listened to the word of God. Again, let me compound this. Listen to the word. And don't listen to a lot of voices. Then one mother raised Cain. The other mother raised Jesus. And like I said, you know, we have rebellious kids today. We have the prodigals. We have them all. Some parents in here have prodigal kids. Never give up on them. By the grace of God, God never gave up on us. One mother brought death into the world. The other mother brought eternal life into the world. So what can we get out of this? Just for four applications as I close here. Have faith in God. We should say with Mary, according to your will be done unto me. Remember when she found out she was going to have the baby Jesus, she's talking to Gabriel. Let your will be done, no matter what. Okay? Number two, obey Jesus. We should do what Mary told the servants to do. Whatever he says to do, do it. Says in John, just do it. Faith. Faith. Keep your faith. It's the most precious thing that you will ever have. You might be so tired, you're like, I am giving it everything and I can't do anymore. You're still faithful. Do God's perfect will. Number three, know that Jesus can do miracles. Mary knew Jesus could do miracles. If Jesus can turn water into wine, he can turn our problems into a miracle. There are miracles sitting here in this room today. We would go throughout, we'd take a break for lunch after service, come back, and we would still have people giving praises and testimonies into the evening. Because you're all miracles. And then fourthly, salvation. Mary saw Jesus die on the cross, but 3 days later she saw him a risen Lord. We can experience the reality of the risen Jesus. So I'm closing with that, saying that, you know, like we said in our Sunday school class, we're going through the gifts of the Spirit, and we all have different tools. We all have different ways we can help one another out. Keep on doing that and saying, you know, I'm at home. I can't really get out of my wheelchair or out of my bed or whatever. Remember, you can always pray. Say, I'm a young person. I'm so busy. I have to take care of my family. That's okay. You can pray because it takes a lot to keep the family going. And mothers, God bless you. God bless you all. We're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to ask Michael and Madison to, I'm going to ask them to come up after the song, and we're going to do our membership thing. And so we're going to do that. So I'm going to close in prayer. We're going to do our song, and then I'll have Michael and Madison come on up for membership. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for Mother's Day. We thank you for what they have done, the unsung heroes of the faith. Bless them, be with them, we honor them to this day. And Lord, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we ask this. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, always an invitation is for you. There's room at the cross for you. You failed God, your world's upside down, he can take it right side back up. Believe today what this Jesus, what we've been doing today. And believe it, and then confess it in your mouth that Jesus is Lord in your heart. But you gotta believe by faith and then start living it and find a good Bible believing church that loves the Lord. Again, that I say loves the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.